Welcome to Coffee with Craft.
Hey, welcome back to the Coffee with Craft podcast. I'm your host, Craft, and today I'm joined with a guest, a guy who I met on Twitter, of all places. His name is Josh. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course, dude. So, Josh, I'm just kind of getting to know you, and so I'm sure that my audience might not know who you are either. So would you mind giving us, like, the 30,000-foot view? Who is Josh? Is it McLemore? Is that how I say it?
It's McLemore, kind of like
McLemore. The rapper. Oh, my gosh. So yeah. You're going to the thrift shop after this?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
So basically the quick and dirty. That's probably not the best way to say that. I am a youth pastor in a small town in rural Georgia. That's what I do full time. I also actually work for a company called Stuff You Can Use. And I work with Grow Curriculum as like a strategist for other youth pastors. You actually know technically my boss, Elle Campbell. She was a guest on your show. I don't know if you knew that connection, but I do. I work there also.
That's awesome.
And so that's a cool gig. I've been working there for a little bit. And then also just recently, I launched a podcast called Church Hurts, which is pretty much how we came to be connected through Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this new Church Hurts podcast, man, I've listened to the episodes you've released. I'm loving it. I think it's a great conversation to be having. Listeners, if you haven't heard of this podcast yet, please go check it out wherever you listen to your podcast currently. But Josh, I was really curious about how you wanted to get into this conversation and why you wanted to get into this conversation around church hurt, because it's not an easy conversation or a fun conversation to dive into, you know? It's not like you're just sitting down and having coffee with a friend lighthearted. Like, you're dealing with some pretty tough topics. And so I'm just curious, what was the driving force of getting into this kind of conversation?
Yeah. So I've been in church world my whole life. I grew up in church. I was kind of the kid who, like, you just went to church. I didn't really have a choice. But I love church, so it wasn't really a problem. And I think around my senior year of high school, I was actually doing like a job shadowing program at my church. By that point, I knew I wanted to go into like full-time vocational ministry kind of already. Our youth pastor left, and me and another friend who was also doing like the job shadowing program at my church, like, we both ended up kind of sort of taking over our youth group as high school seniors. We had an adult over us, right? But we were kind of the day-to-day worker at church. And I think
that's crazy.
It is crazy. It's insane. And so, like, that was the first time that I like really started playing around with like what vocational ministry looks like and feels like at a really, really young age. And I remember kind of becoming somewhat disillusioned to what it was like to work in a church. I had this vision before that of like, oh, it's great. Everybody loves each other and it's Jesus-y, so it's going to be super happy. And I ran into just situations, even in that church that was my home church growing up, that were like difficult, but I sort of just shelved them because I'm like, well, that just kind of happens. And then I moved into my next position in a church, which was as an intern with my former youth pastor who had moved on, like the guy who'd moved and we kind of took over. Like, I moved to his church when I went to college and worked as an intern from him. And, had another kind of situation there that was really hurtful. And at the time, like, I was really hurt by it, to the point that I pretty much like left church for like a little bit and, was kind of totally just out of the church, but like weirdly, like still wanted to go into vocational ministry, but like didn't know what that would look like. At that point I was a religious studies major. So I was studying all religion, but, obviously with a focus on Christianity. I found my way back into the church. I grew up Methodist, but I found my way into a Presbyterian church by a friend of mine who had classes with, and was kind of really the first time I felt like a big community around church, and really just kind of re-energized my love for church and kind of solidified that I still wanted to do vocational ministry. I just didn't know what that was going to look like. But see, there were all these little things that leading up to that point that were like hurtful, but like I sort of just kind of internalized or pushed down because like that was the only way to get through it. Then I started working actually as a full-time youth pastor at 19. I got hired at a church. I was 19 and they hired me as the youth pastor.
Wow.
Which was dumb for them. I mean, hey, it man, is.
You're 19. They can pay you cheap.
And they did. And oh boy, did they. But no, that church was really good for me at the time. It was where I needed to be. It was perfect at the time for me. And it was weird because my kids were like, some of them were not even that much younger than me. So that was odd, but man, it was really cool. I got to get my feet wet in ministry, like as the person in charge, not as an intern or a volunteer or whatever. Fast forward a couple of years. I've been at that church for about 7 years. By that point, I'm no longer the youth pastor. I've actually stepped into the role of teaching pastor.
Oh, wow.
At that church. So I was actually, you know, leading the adult service every other Sunday. And I was in charge of all of our discipleship and small groups and all of that good stuff. And just really feeling like, oh man, this is awesome. Like we're gelling. This is what God wants for us. There was talks of, you know, whenever the lead pastor steps down, like you'll be next. And so I started like looking into ordination and getting that thing rolling. And then like literally everything fell apart. And without getting into too much of the nitty gritty of that, but basically it became a really, really toxic church environment for me and my wife. By then I was married to be in. And a couple of staff issues, specifically with my interactions with kind of the executive pastor of that church, kind of went south. And we just realized that we couldn't stay in that situation anymore. And so we walked away. It was actually really quick, the process of getting out of there. And when I got out, I started working at a church immediately. Like I left, I went from that church to another church. Went back into full-time youth ministry, back in the United Methodist Church, you know, the system that I grew up in, not the church I grew up in, but the system. And we walked away, my wife and I, from my first like night with that group. And we got in the car and we were driving back because we were actually having, at that point, I was commuting to this new job about an hour away from where we lived. And we were driving home. And I was like, did that feel like different to you? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I just felt like that felt right. And I haven't felt right about church in like a really long time. And I think because of that experience and even just interactions beyond that, where I'm like, I'm never going to let myself be in a church situation like the one that I got out of. Like, I'm not going to do that. Caused me to have like hard conversations, even with the church that ended up hiring me next. But I think, you know, I went through all these things and it made me smarter. It made me understand how to deal in ministry and how to, you know, compartmentalize and all these things that I needed to learn. But I had to go through this really tough time. And as I've gotten farther away from that, I've realized that I'm still healing from like a lot of those things. And every time I can talk to somebody who's been through something similar, every time I can have a conversation with someone who's like, oh man, that's crazy. Not in like a, hey, let's obliterate the thing that we walked out of. Cause the reality is there's things I loved about that church. I mean, it was my home for 7 years. But to own like the things that were bad on my end, on their end, and to have like open and honest conversations with people is what helps me heal. And every time I would talk to somebody, I would realize like they have stories too, especially if you like work in churches. Now, I'm not pigeonholing this idea into just people that work in churches or work in ministry, but that's kind of where it started. And what I realized is that we talk about these things like one-on-one and we talk about these things behind closed doors and like, that's great. But what if we could get that healing out in the open? And like, what if we could have a conversation like on a podcast and people that are going through a similar issue could hear it and be for the first time, maybe like, holy crap. Like I didn't even know like someone else experienced that. And then to give insight into like, why do you not just turn tail and run? Cause that's the reality. Like that could have been what I did. That could have been what my guests have done. But we stayed. And so I wanted to have a conversation that would help people see how we've healed, but then also maybe get some healing themselves.
Wow, man, that such a powerful story. So I think impactful, because you're right. Like, if you hang out in the church world long enough, you find people who have been hurt by it or broken by it fairly easily, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're a youth minister, you probably go to a network gathering of other youth ministers. And sometimes those things can turn into like a cry fest of like, my senior pastor did this, or
absolutely,
you know, this frustrating thing starts happening. And, you know, I've only been doing ministry since 2016, around my junior year of college. I was about 20 years old. And so since I've been like in this process, like I know for me personally, like there have been several moments in any church I've worked in where like it's been hard and it's been difficult and conflict arises, and there, you know, maybe a situation or two that actually were deeply toxic. And so I think this conversation is important, even as I talk to friends right now. Like, I think of a few friends in my life right now who have personally like left ministry or have taken a step back for a season because they've been hurt by their current or present circumstances. And so, man, I'm just so thankful that people are starting to talk about healing and moving forward, because, man, what's kept in the darkness doesn't find light and it doesn't find hope, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I want to kind of talk about what you just said. Burnout is so real in ministry. And some of it's from busyness. Like, sometimes we allow ourselves to be way too busy. And part of that is because some of us are in kind of church environments where if we're not like on all the time, like, then we're not useful. And so we kind of push ourselves maybe farther than we ought to. The thing is, man, like, vocational ministry is so weird because it is your job, but it's also the place where you go to worship God. And it becomes so convoluted sometimes if you don't know what you're getting into, that you allow like things that would never fly in normal jobs, you allow them to happen because you're like, this is church. It's all for Jesus. If you're not careful, you will become so like broken and disillusioned from that you will, like, you'll walk away. I've had I'm going to walk away moments like 18 times in my time in ministry, probably more than that. Right. Like,
right.
You know, even in ministry jobs where I'm like perfectly content, like something will come up and I'll be like, man, it would be so much easier not to do this. And I think the thing that gets me through is being able to have conversations and talk through that with people who are like going through it too. That's been hugely helpful. And honestly is the reason that like, I don't just like turn and go work somewhere else. That, and I don't really know what I would do. Like,
yeah, it's funny. Hearing you say that, it's a conversation I have with a lot of youth ministry friends who ever think about leaving youth ministry. They go, I don't know what I would do if it wasn't in the church.
And a long time ago, like I told you, I've wanted to do vocational ministry, right? Since I was like, real talk, like in middle school. And I remember telling my dad that, and my dad did this really cool thing. So shout out to my dad. Maybe it's not going to sound cool, but it was cool for me. And so he basically, I was like, Dad, I want to be a youth pastor. And he was like, that's cool. You should try to do anything else. And I was like, what? I was like, what? Like, I'm doing the like good church boy thing. And my dad was like, no, I know, but it's going to be so hard. And he goes, not that I don't think you can do it, but like, if you're going to do it, you have to know that it's the thing that you have to do. And so he straight up, he was like, run in the other direction as far as you can. Now, I'm not sure if that was the best way to put that conversation on the table, but I was so grateful that he did, because in these times where it's like really difficult, I'm like, I tried to run and it didn't work. And so here we are. So let's figure this thing out. Let's heal. And then let's like make it better for other people. And that's really the impetus of like why I even started the podcast in the first place.
Man, that's so good. So, hey, what is your big hope that you hope people are just taking away from these Church Hurt podcasts, conversations, and this idea as a whole of moving forward?
Yeah, so I've mentioned it in the show a couple of times, and I want to kind of add to things I've already said in there. But there's two audiences for the podcast. Really, there's three, but there's kind of two that I kind of reference a lot. One would be, you know, every episode I have so far has been someone's like particular story of hurt or just kind of a journey of hurt. And hopefully someone is listening that's been through that thing. So like the first episode, I had a guy on who talked about being a young youth pastor who was also kind of like a associate pastor position and what that looked like to when something goes south with the pastor, how do you have accountability and what happens when the church doesn't back you up? So I hope someone was listening that has gone through that. Right. And we talked with a girl named Tosh McGill, and she was talking about women in ministry and churches kind of, you know, not allowing women into ministry or not being open about the fact that they weren't. And I hope someone heard that and was like, oh man, that's my story. Let me listen to this person who went through this. Right. And then our third episode, we're only three episodes in, was a friend of mine who's single. He's like a year, I'm 31. He's 32. I think if he's not, he's 31. He's around my age and he's single. Right. And so we had a conversation about being single in the church, specifically when you work in one, but not even that, just like when you're single in the church, like how does the church treat you? What is the language that they use? How is that possibly hurtful? And your church doesn't even know it. So I hope people were listening to those that are in that situation. That's part of the podcast. The other would be, I hope that churches are listening. You know, I hope that I've said this before in the episodes. I hope that when we get to the end, when we get to the, like, what do we do with all of this hurt? Right. I hope that there's a church that's been like annoyed through the whole podcast. Like, I hope that there's a church that's listening. That's like, this person is overreacting. This person is insane. Right. Like, I hope that that person has stayed through the podcast and gets to the end, because one of the things that I'm hoping to do is help communicate to churches like, hey, don't do this thing. If you've done it before, like it sucks, but like own that you have and move on and like, don't do it again. But also churches, I hope, are listening and going like, man, we don't ever want to do that. We don't ever want to be that church. Because the reality is that when I'm dealing with people in vocational ministry, a lot of us like will hold on longer than maybe we should. Or maybe other people would, because it's our job, right? But if the churches out there are doing this to people who aren't paid to be there, you got a lot less chance of those people sticking around. And it's not just about butts in the seats, right? Like I don't care about that. I know there are churches that do, and it's not what it's about. But the reality is like when the church hurts people that badly, and they walk away forever, we're doing those people a disservice. If we believe we got the good news and we believe that people need to hear what we're saying, then maybe we should stop running them off. And so I hope that churches, I hope the churches are listening, to that. And then like the third kind of audience that I hope is listening is, if you're not in vocational ministry and you're hearing someone who is, I hope that what we're doing is sort of opening up that world to you a little bit. There will come a time when I will have people on that are not in vocational ministry, but I think that people that are just churchgoers, sometimes they don't really know like what's going on in the lives of church workers. And I kind of hope we're pulling back the curtain on that a little bit, because that world is so odd for the people that live in it. And I hope I'm inspiring people who aren't in vocational ministry to have some understanding and some compassion for people that are, and just how different but also the same church hurts are when you're in those vocational settings. So I hope that those kinds of people are hearing too, so that we're all healing, we're all growing, we're all becoming better image bearers of God, right? Like I hope that that's happening for all of us, so that at the end of the day, we're all doing this Christian and church thing better.
Mm. Man, that is so good. I would hope that too. I would hope that churches listening to your podcast would go, okay, it's time for us to figure out where our blind spots are and how we can be better, you know? Because every church, no matter how healthy your church is or how great your church is full of sinful, broken people, right? And so there's always blind spots, and there's always spots where toxicity might be able to breed. And so I think it's important for us to figure that out and know that. So I love that. And then I love even like pulling back the curtain to allow people who aren't in vocational ministry to see what it's like to be a vocational minister in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. You know, I sat down with a congregation member the other day, actually, and just, you know, we went out for coffee just to chat, and we're sitting down at coffee, and they asked me the question, like, what's your week look like? Like, I know you're full time at the church. I know you work for us, but like, I don't know what you do for 40 hours a week. And I started explaining like everything I did for 40 hours a week. And they were like, whoa, you do all of that?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's really funny when that curtain gets lifted for some people, they go, oh, there's all this stuff I didn't know. So I think that's huge.
Yeah, especially in youth ministry, I get this a lot. Like, it's taken a while for my students to understand, like, what is it that you do? And I'm like, this is my, they're like, when do you work? I'm like, I'm doing it right now. And it's easy when in youth ministry, because like, we're going to Universal Studios this weekend, we're going to a theme park, right? And so there's going to be people in my church that are like, oh, he's on vacation. No, I'm not. I'm working so hard. I mean, like, yeah, I'm having fun, but like, I'm also making sure your kids don't die. And I'm also making sure that we get home like in one piece and like knowing where they are. And like, all of that stuff is work, and it's part of youth ministry.
Anyone who's gone on a trip with teenagers will tell you 100% it's not a vacation.
Yeah, not at all. And then there are people like my students that are like, what do you do during the week? Like, when you're not here on Wednesdays and you're not here on Sundays, what do you do? And I'm like, I get ready for Wednesdays and Sundays. Like, what do you mean? What do I do? And so, I think there are a lot of people that, and I don't think they're doing it like to be rude or because they think I don't do anything. But I have had conversations with some people who kind of do insinuate that maybe I don't do anything. But I think for the most part, people just like, they don't know, like they don't understand because church is church for them and church is work for me. And so those lines get blurred and people don't understand it. And so they just kind of like, I think they just sort of jettison that because they don't know what to do with it. And so they just kind of go like, oh, I don't know what Josh does. He lives in some magical world where like, I don't understand it. So I'm just going to put it over there and not deal with it. It can be tough. And I hope that's what people are seeing, right? That like, and I want to be clear, because I've had people ask about this, about the show. The point of the show, is not just to be like, oh, woe is me. Church work is the worst. I hate it so much. I'm here, but like only because I have to be. That's not what I want. What I want is for people to be very honest about the hurt. And so that's why I'll let people, I haven't had this yet, but like, I'd let somebody come on and do an episode and like not reveal who they are. Cause I understand that like, when you start talking about church hurts, this can be really difficult. I mean, your church could hear it and it might tear, you know, you might lose your job, whatever. So I give people the potential for anonymity. But you know, I think that when you are honest and get it out in the open, then you can move on. But like, that part's really important too, like the moving on part. And so it's not about like, we're having a podcast and we're just going to sit in all the church crap for an hour and then we're never going to do anything about it. We're just going to talk about how bad it is. I really hope that we are constantly moving towards like, and here's how we're going to make it better. And here's how we're going to do better next time. And here's how we're not going to let ourselves be in those situations. Here's how we've learned. And like, constantly moving forward, because you can't just sit in the drama. Or I had someone say like, oh, I really like the podcast. I'm gonna be honest, part of the reason I like the podcast is because I like drama. And I'm like, I hear what you're saying, but like, that's not what it's about. Like, the drama's there for sure, and we got to be real and we got to be honest. But what I don't want to be is like a podcast just like, yuck, it's so bad to work in church. Like, no, that's not what it's about. It's about like, how can it be better? How can we make it better? And so I just want to be really clear about that, as you know, people go and maybe check it out. That's what it's about.
Dude, that's awesome. That you're right. It's so hugely important to like, if we sit just in brokenness, like that's all we have.
Yeah. You know? No. Yeah.
Like, it's just brokenness all around us. But if we choose to, pick up the pieces, find hope, and see that God can move in the midst of our brokenness, including in the midst of church brokenness, then things can get better and we can move forward. So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a time for that morning and a time for that, you know, sitting in what's happened. Yeah. But we hope that we're moving people beyond that.
Absolutely, man. So, hey, kind of a question that I just thought of while we were sitting here, but I'm super curious your thoughts on.
Yeah. What's up?
Say there's somebody listening right now who is going through a tough situation in their church, or has just walked out of a tough situation in their church. Cause I know there might be one or two people listening that I can like think of off the top of my head who might be going through something similar like that. So I'm just curious, what's your encouragement to somebody who's going through that tough situation right now?
Yeah. So first of all, like, you're not alone. I think it's very easy to think that you are. And that sounds like, man, I know that sounds so cheesy, but like, it's so true. There are people out there, number one, who are experiencing or have experienced the exact same thing that you're going through, or if not, something very, very similar. So you're not alone. The other thing, man, is that these bad things happen, and they happen everywhere, right? But it's harder to like stomach when it's your church. Mm. It's even harder to stomach when that church is your work. So you're not alone. Other people have gone through this thing, and God can and will use anything. And so when you go through these darker times, I think there's a couple of things. One, maybe you think like, oh, I deserved this. Well, no, you don't. Well, I mean, we all deserve like a lot that we don't get because of God. And so that's a good thing. So like, sometimes like these bad situations we're in are like part of, like, we're part of it, right? Like if I go back to the church that I came out of, that kind of was the main point of why I'm doing this thing and just kind of healing from that. There's like so much I did wrong too. Like that the church did stuff wrong. I did stuff wrong. So I had to own that. And so maybe there's somebody out there that like, you need to stop and you need to think and you need to go like, okay, what exactly happened? Let me take some stock of what brought me to here. I'm not saying that everybody, like, because everybody's situation is different. Mm. So, like, I'm not saying that if you're going through a church hurt, right, that, like, it's your fault. But I don't think you can fully heal from something until you, like, fully grasp, like, what your position is in it. And so take stock, right, of what exactly happened. And that's easier the farther away you get from it in the moment. It's harder because you feel like a victim, and you maybe are, right? There's definitely some parts of that. But as you move from it, I think continuously go back and look at it and go like, okay, so that thing was really bad that they did, but like, what was I doing? Was I doing it right? Was I handling it right? Because when I look back, I see places where I dropped the ball too. Mm-hmm. And so own your place in whatever happened, right? And then the other thing is talk about it. And this is where it gets hard, right? Because if you're in vocational ministry, odds are you probably can't and really probably shouldn't talk about it with people that are in the church context that you're in. Right. So for example, one of the things I did really badly in my previous church, when I was dealing with stuff, is I talked about it with people that were in the congregation, and that was really not the best thing to do. I didn't talk about it as much as I wanted to, because if I'm honest, I wanted to tear the thing down while I walked out the door. But I did have conversations that I shouldn't have had with church members that I shouldn't have had. So you got to be careful, but like, you got to find somebody. You got to find somebody that you can talk to. Somebody or a group of somebodies that you can talk to, that you can be honest with. I would encourage you to find somebody who's going to ask the hard questions like, well, I know you said they did this really bad thing, but like, what did you do? Don't completely surround yourself by people who are just going to be like, oh, dude, that's so crazy. I can't believe they're insane. Because like, you need those people too. But you also need people who are going to be like, okay, but like, let's take a step back. Let's look at it for what it is. And so I would encourage people that are listening and going through something difficult to find that. The caveat would be this. And I'm pretty strong on this. If there is something going on, like an abuse situation or something that you like can look at scripturally and you go, that is like straight evil, like get the heck up out of there. Don't wait. But like beyond that, I think stopping and taking actual stock of what's going on, removing the like heat of the moment from it, is the best thing you can do to actually like center yourself and figure out like, okay, how do I move forward from this?
Yeah, man, that's so, so good. Awesome. Josh, thank you for being on the show today, man. I've really appreciated our conversation together today.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Hey, if people want to find you on social media, where is the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on Twitter these days, and you can just find me at Josh McLemore, which no one's going to know how to spell, same as they look on the podcast. I'll just spell it right now. It's McLemore, which is confusing because there's no A in there, but you hear that Mac. But anyway, so you can find me at Josh McLemore on Twitter. I am on Instagram. That's at Hodge Josh MC, which is a story for a whole nother day, but it's HOJJOSHMC. And then you can email us at, or email me on the podcast at whenchurchhurtsus@gmail.com. And then also we're on Facebook at, whenchurchhurtsus, as well. And so you can find me in all of those places. Twitter would be like the quickest way to get in touch, just because I'm that's kind of the hub of my outside of church ministry, kind of work that I'm doing.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, Josh, thank you again so much for being on the show. Guys, check out his podcast, Church Hurts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And thank you, as always, for pulling up a chair, grabbing a cup of coffee,